That was wonderful. Both. My goodness. So, thank you very much for coming out. I was really pleased that you quoted from 1 John 4, because when I was at the convent today, locked in a room with bishops and others from the executive staff today, I was trying to think, what would the scripture be for this talk? And you'll see the mosaic in the front hall, and it's 1 John 4. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. Today is literally a day of love, December the 6th. It's St. Nicholas Day. And St. Nicholas was a bishop in Turkey, Bishop of Myra. He was the son of a very wealthy family. His parents died when he was very young. He inherited quite a bit of wealth, and he was known for his gifts and works of mercy. And some of those wonderful tales of him knowing a man who had three daughters, and the father could not afford the dowry for each of the daughters. And when each one came to the age of being married, Bishop Nicholas put the gift through the window so there would be enough. And on the arrival of the third daughter of age, the father stayed up late knowing that this person giving the gifts would appear, and caught the bishop in the act gave deep thanks for his mercy. Sailors in the ocean after Bishop Nicholas's death, their ship was about to go down, and one of them started to pray to St. Nicholas, and the storms were calmed. And so Nicholas is the patron saint of sailors, and the patron saint of children, and vat makers too. Vat makers. So December the 6th, I can never get through this day without a moment of deep regret and sorrow and sadness, and also the want and deep desire to change the world of what happened just about now in downtown Montreal. December the 6th, 1991, will forever change me. I remember stepping into the pulpit the Sunday following. And the father, being a father of three daughters, also has a deep compulsion not just to be protective of three daughters, but also for the whole of humankind, and also to be able to promote and uphold and to protect and to create the space for women in our society. And we're watching a lot of that happen in the media now, as power is being upended in all of our institutions where it has been abused. And so I would invite you to hold 14 women in the palm of your hand as you pray this night for their families that continue to grieve, and for women around the world who are don't have the means nor the protection where it takes love to go the distance. So my question in this moment is, how far would you go? How far would you go? Have I ever told you the story about why I have an earring? Anybody know my story about why I have an earring? Have I ever told you that story? You were. Abby, do you want to ask me? So let me tell you the story about why I have an earring. Almost. I have an earring because, and it goes like this. When my two elder daughters, Hannah and Bridget, were very young, 6 and 4, it was my job to take them to get their flu shots. And so I went to the Pharmaplus in our neighborhood, where they have a clinic in the back, and they were hosting flu shots that day. And so we went to the back, and I signed them up, and the waiting room was filled with parents like me with young children waiting to get their flu shots. And Hannah was whimpering and wandering around. She paced the floor. She was six. And Bridget was very stoic and quiet, very brave. And when it was our turn to go into the clinic to get the flu shot, Bridget became even more quiet, and Hannah became even more frantic. And when the doctor arrived, Hannah said, "I am not going first." And Bridget, very resigned, pulled into me and said, "I'll go first, Daddy," in a very brave tone. And when the doctor pulled out the needle and got it ready and came close and said to Bridget, "It's not going to hurt. You will feel a little pinch. It will be okay. You may want to get closer to your father at this point." And she started to whimper too, and Hannah was just going around in circles. And the needle went in, and it came out, and there was a brief silence. Now, I really love watching Star Trek. And one of my very favorite characters is Worf, who is a Klingon. And if you know the Klingon ritual, when another Klingon dies, they tip their heads back, and then they do a primal scream. That happened. And little Bridget, who's 4 years old, tipped her head back, and she said, "Oh my God, that hurts!" And she just kept saying it, and so Hannah went round and round in circles going, "I told you, it's going to hurt. It really hurts, Hannah. It's going to really hurt." In came the nurse. And the nurse said, "Is everybody okay in here?" The doctor's like this. And I'm going, "It's just fine." Then I had to bargain with Hannah. "Listen, I'll get you a new DVD. We'll go out to Pizza Hut for lunch. I will buy you chocolate bars." Finally got her down onto my lap, screaming and holding on. The doctor kept coming close with the needle, pulling away close, and finally put it in. And when he said it was over, she said, "It's over? Well, that didn't hurt at all." So on December the 22nd, 3 days before Christmas, I took Hannah to get her ears pierced. And she really wanted to get her ears pierced. And she was 7 years old. She'd wanted to get them pierced from the point when she was 4 or 5 years old. And when she saw that attendant coming with the two plungers to go into her ears, she went into that dark place that I know very well in getting your needle. And I said, "It's not going to hurt. It's not even as painful as getting a flu shot." And she said, "How do you know?" "I'm not going to get my ear pierced unless you get your ear pierced." And I said, "I don't want my ear pierced." And the tears just kept it coming down. And she said, "I'm not going to do it unless you get your ear pierced." And I said, "I don't want my ear pierced." And I said, "Well, what will my parishioners think? It's December the 23rd. It's almost Christmas. What will my mother say?" And I looked at this kid, and the tears are coming down, and I thought, "Fine, I will get my ear pierced. Kapunk. It doesn't hurt. I've changed my mind anyway." "Oh, no, you haven't." So this always reminds me, at a very deep, funny way, but a very deep way, just how far you go as a parent. How far will you go for your child? As parents, we carry our children's pain, their sorrow, their fear, their shame. How far will you go? It also reminds me, how far does God go for us? But to be pierced, to save us from our shame and our fear, from our worry and our sorrow, from our selfishness, from our ego, from ourselves, how far will God go? Vince Coleman is a name that you need to commit to memory as one telegrapher in a train station on this day 100 years ago who had enough courage to be able to go back and warn a train coming into Halifax that there was a boat ready to explode, knowing that everybody else was running for their lives saying, this is going to be my last message out. How far do you go? Love that we know that is heavenward always comes earthward. As Lee has said so eloquently, God comes among us and dwells with us to cover over the shame, to take it away, to walk the way from Bethlehem all the way to the cross, so that we might see within ourselves the worthiness, the hope, and the love that dwells in us that we try to extinguish. And yet it's the same love that calls us to reach out to our neighbor, to feel the sense of the one next to us who is not just likable, but lovable. Or put another way, my favorite band, as many of you know, is U2. U2. Whose latest album came out on December the 1st, which is World AIDS Day. That's significant for them. And one of their best songs ever is One Love. Do you know that? How many of you know that song, One Love? So One Love is a song, I don't know if you know the background to the song, but One Love was actually written, they were putting together the album Achtung Baby and recording in Berlin at the time of German reunification. The wall had just come down and the band decided, let's pull this album together. And they were having such squabbles as a band over such differences of opinion of which direction they should go, and they weren't satisfied with the music at all. And in fact, the band almost broke up over that album. And Edge started to play with a progression of three chords, and they just kept playing with them and playing with them and playing with them. And Bono put the words to the song, to those three chords. It's actually a breakup song. It's the band's testimony that they have come to the end, basically, of this relationship. Except that it comes with a turn in the refrain. And the refrain is, or at the end of the song, one love, one blood, one life. You got to do what you should. One life with each other. Sisters, brothers, one life. But we're not the same. We get to carry each other. We get to carry each other. So Lee talked about space and distance and yet closeness. And the song is really about how four men who are very, very close, three of them professing Christianity, could see that somehow this thing was coming apart, and yet they were actually being called to be together, which translates into an anthem, as it were, of saying, we are not the same. There is a difference. I am not you. You are not me. And yet somehow we are brought into one by the one, by God. It's not that we have to carry each other. It's not that we got to carry each other. It's that we get to carry each other. What Bono is really saying is, in the midst of love comes this moment of grace, that the greatest and the deepest privilege that we have in taking each breath is that we get to. This is something that we get to do. And it's the call, I think, when we step into this season of Advent, is understanding that when we are called to love our enemy, the one who is different from us, who challenges us, who makes us angry, or our love, who challenges us or makes us angry, that always calls us to be better and deeper than we are, is that we actually get to walk with each other. If there was ever a time now, on this day, where we are being recalled to the root of who we are, it's that we do treat each other like sisters and like brothers. And if we can't do that, then I don't know who can. So as a way of kind of wrapping things a little into a conversation, because you've been listening a lot, one question. Talk with your neighbor about a time when you got to, or a privilege of carrying another, or another got to carry you. Or put in another way, where somebody went further for you than you could ever ask or imagine, or that perhaps you did the same for another. Just take 2 minutes, first of all, to ponder that. Just one example. And then when you're ready, just share that with your neighbor. All right, I'm going to call you back with only a few minutes to go. Anybody want to ask any questions or offer anything that you shared in your sharing?
Questions? It's not so much of a question, it's more of a statement. My mother always used to say, kindness is better than love. And growing up, you didn't question your parents, you accepted it. And you sure as heck didn't question my mother. So explain to me how, after all these years later, and I can't ask her that question because she's no longer here, but explain to me what she might have meant, if you could.
Wow. I'm not sure I could explain where your mother was coming from on that one. Kindness is better than love, deeper than love.
In terms of today's standards, and what we've talked about tonight, what would you, in the overall context, make of it, of what her statement would have been?
You know, it would be really interesting to spend a whole night on that one, because there is somehow we tend to move more towards a deep desire for love, and we have our own understanding what kind of love we want, and sometimes it's not attainable, or it's only on our terms. Or it's the kind of love that is self-absorbed, and it's only between two people, or it may only be for the family. But there is something about kindness that is seriously lacking in our world too. The simple little things that I feel old all of a sudden, because I keep thinking when I look at my own kids' generation, saying, "Boy, when I was your age, you know, to open the door for somebody, to take the time to actually say hello to somebody." It's amazing how freaked out people get when you make eye contact, let alone actually say hello. And that's the person living next door to you in the condo, right? It's not just the person who's the stranger on the street. That it may be that your mother was really referring to that very simplest of gifts that comes from a deep place too, where we are looking to neighbor to make connections that are based on kindness, not suspicion. I don't know if that helps. Any other comments or anything that anybody wants to share that you shared at your table?
Well, Jackie? I just had a comment on that, and it might seem simplistic, but as soon as you said that, I had an image of love as often as a concept only to us and a word, but kindness is the action behind it. Mm-hmm. It's the putting, it's the doing. So I would hazard to guess maybe that's where your mother was coming from. Just
nice.
A thought.
Yeah, very good. Back corner.
Following up on that, isn't it kind of in a way that maybe perhaps what your mother became, nobody can do interpret your mother, but maybe there's a aspect to it too, that love is a term that can be used in the abstract as well as individual, but kindness kind of involves a real caring about the people around you. When you mention like opening doors, you mention like saying hello there, because you actually like people. You actually like to talk to somebody. And you actually, and it actually does mean to you. You know, I've had the odd person, and you might have had it too, say to you, how are you today? And we all respond, okay, but do you really care? I mean, we don't say that, but isn't that what a lot of us think? You know, but do you really care? And you know what? There are actually some people out there that do care. Because they actually do wish, they might not know you personally, they might not know what you're going through or what, you know, you don't know what they're going through. But they actually do hope that everybody around them is having a good day. Because why not? We all have a good day. Must be a pretty good day, right? Maybe that is sort of what your mother meant.
Thank you.
Shall we close with prayer? Let's stand. Oh, Abby, you have a... Oh. It's okay. The Lord be with you. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for this night and bringing us safely to this moment in the day. We give you thanks for the gift of love, the gift that binds us to each other, the gift of yourself in us, the spirit that moves within us. And on this night, we hold in our prayers, remembering especially those women who lost their lives this night in 1989. Remembering especially Anne-Marie LeMay, Anne-Marie Edward, Annie Saint-Arnaud, Annie Turcotte, Barbara Daniel, Barbara Kluznik-Widjowitz, Genevieve Bergeron, Hélène Colgan, Maryse Lagagne, Maryse Leclerc, Maud Havernick, Michelle Richard, Nathalie Croteau, Sonia Peltier. Rest eternal grant to them, O Lord. We pray for their families and their friends who continue to grieve. We pray for missing and murdered Indigenous women and all who have suffered violence. We pray this night for the city of Halifax that holds in its soul this day, 100 years ago, the loss of life, of family, and we pray that new life glows evermore in the brokenness and embers of the past. And we hold fast this season of Advent for the hope and for the love that endures and calls us through this season, knowing, loving God, that you walk with us, you hold us, you keep us, as we hold the child, your presence, in a manger. May our hearts be filled this night by you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.